Welcome to This Time Together from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I'm Pastor Joel Kurtz. As we gather today on this first Sunday in August, this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, we give thanks for the ongoing green life of faith we have in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we grow and believe and live in Him. We hear Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures You have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of Your grace, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes, chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases Him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, He has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Here ends the first reading. Today's epistle is recorded in Colossians chapter 3. Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Here ends the epistle reading. The Holy Gospel for today is from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We pray together the prayer from the front of the hymnal, page 311, Against the Love of Money. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have called us to be your children and heirs of your gracious promises in Christ Jesus. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may forsake all covetous desires and the inordinate love of riches. Deliver us from the pursuit of passing things, that we may seek the kingdom of your Son and trust in his righteousness, and so find blessedness and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, let us abandon all greedy desires and the excessive love of riches, we just prayed, and deliver us from chasing after passing things so we can seek Christ's kingdom and his righteousness. That prayer, of course, echoes Jesus' own words from the Sermon on the Mount about the essential priorities of his followers and where we're to put our trust. Words you might still be hearing in your head because of the tune they're joined to as we sang just a bit ago. And then, there are the obvious tie-ins to today's gospel, where Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all greedy desire, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. Followed by his story of the man's foolish and selfish response to his big harvest, being wasteful and thinking only of personal luxury. He thought he was set for a long life of enjoyment, didn't he? But it came to an end much shorter than he counted on. Think of the better decisions he could have made based on thankfulness to the Lord of all goodness and the needs of others, especially the starving. But his fate was the outcome of laying up treasure for himself and not humbly before the Lord, the giver. Jesus said those sharp words and told that painted story because while Jesus was talking about his identity as the Son of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in trying times, a man piped up in the crowd saying to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. You see, he wanted Jesus to be involved in supposedly more practical things, to help him get more money like he thought he deserved. So Jesus asserted that wasn't his role and told him to watch out for greed and see that life isn't about the loads of stuff a person owns. That takes us to our lives, too, and what we prayed together earlier, doesn't it? Martin Luther wrote, he who has money and possessions feels secure. This is the most common idol on earth. And so you'll read this note on verse 21 in the Lutheran Study Bible. Obsession with money can crowd God's ways out of our hearts. It's true, isn't it? But hard for even many Christians to admit because society revolves around it and holds out that dreamy ambition of the man in Jesus' story, thinking he had it made and could take it easy for years. That's why St. Paul wrote those words he did to Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it. If we have food and clothing, be content with these. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and many harmful desires that plunge people into ruin, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So charge the rich in the here and now not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So they are to be rich in doing good to others, to be generous and ready to share. In this way, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. Did you catch that? I'll repeat it. In this way, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Yes, to latch on to what is truly life. Not a commercial or ad about what could be yours, fleeting and empty, as it often is, but what is truly life. The tangible things of life, you see, aren't bad, especially all of the natural world in our lives which this Lord has made. Abundance of food and drink is good, as long as it's shared among all it's intended for, and not wasted or hoarded. But the abundance of things we make and assign value to, that's usually where the problem is. Like all this stuff in a warehouse that gets endlessly made and sold, some genuinely useful, but a lot is unnecessary and winds up in a landfill, unused even, so that more can be made. Some of you know that we belong to a salvaging warehouse not far from here. And it's loaded with stuff. Tax write-off donations from three major companies. So all that mostly brand new stuff is saved from landfills. And we're enabled, along with other churches and agencies, to get those items to people who can use them so they're not simply just buried. You see, people don't have the resources for that kind of stuff. So us saying, hey, we'll spend what it takes to join, and we'll get this stuff and get it to people who need it, that's good stewardship. Good stewardship of abundance, even amid an inherently wasteful system. It's something that right below us all last week and this week, people have been bringing all sorts of stuff we no longer need or have room for our rummage sale, hoping others will pick it up for a good price, use it or enjoy it, and enable the Mary Martha Guild to support mission projects centered on the saving love and generous mercy of Jesus, who not only spoke those words of the gospel, but lived them to the full. Yes, indeed, that Jesus we sang of, who is the priceless treasure, our truest friend, even amid pain and loss, shame and cross, the one who remains our life and abundance regardless of what we might suffer or struggle through. The one who poured out the treasure of his life, healing people long ago and still today, who poured out the treasure of his life in his sacrificial death on a cross and with his victorious rising to life again, dealing with the consequences of all our wrongs and failures, and who here, up here in this sanctuary, pours out the mercy of sins declared forgiven, and pours out these gifts of his grace we receive in the bread and wine of his holy presence at the communion table. What gifts for us to treasure, indeed. At the start of his long kingship, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. And at the end, he looked back and saw all of his foolishness in chasing after wealth, power, and glory, making many suffer even because of his ambitions. With clarity, he found the greatest joy in being free from worry, in simply doing and enjoying good work, in eating and drinking what God gives. So Paul counseled to seek these things and set our minds on them, because we've died and risen with Christ, because our lives are hidden, wrapped up with God in Christ. So we set ourselves to doing away with sexual immorality and all its enticements, all the idolatry of greedy desire and all the bad actions and words that followed, so that by Christ's grace we can set ourselves to living the way of Christ, who is the all in all. Amen. Thank you for listening, and please join us some Saturday evening at 5:30 in our sanctuary at 607 North McGuire, or on a Sunday morning at 10:30, same place. You can also check us out on the web and see our live stream at blchurch.com. The Lord bless and direct your days and your deeds in His peace. Amen.